Psalm chapter 1, as we consider how we use our time in this life, how we walk and how we are to walk as a wise man rather than a foolish man. And Psalm 1 sets this forth quite clearly. This is the infallible Word of God. Please give it your full attention as it is read. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And then to our sermon text in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let us go to him in prayer for help in understanding it. Eternal and everlasting God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you who has from your infinite goodness chosen for yourself a church, and in that church, you have always made yourself known, first by your voice to Adam, then to Abraham and his seed, then to all of Israel with the publication of your law, and finally by sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into the world, clothed in our nature, in order to teach us your holy will and to put an end to all new revelations and prophecies. And it was our Lord who elected for himself apostles, and after his resurrection gave those apostles the command to preach the gospel to all realms and all nations, promising to be with them unto the ends of the world. And Lord, we are grateful this gospel has come to the ends of the world, even here in Waco, Texas. And we are grateful that you have promised to be with your church where two or three are gathered. You are in the midst of them to instruct us, to teach us, and also to confirm the things that you have spoken in your word. So we ask that you would do so now through your servant. Confirm the gospel in our lives. Sanctify us and grant us faith and assurance that we are yours and you are ours. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are lost and you look, you will find me time after time. Right? Cindy Lauper. Time keeps on slipping into the future. The Steve Miller Band. One more time, we're going to celebrate Daft Punk. Gee, ain't it funny how time just slips away? Willie. This killing time is killing me, Clint Black sang. The times, they are a-changing, Bob Dylan. One last one. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. For the longest time. Billy Joel. How amazing it is, the issue of time and how we use time is on the minds of all kinds of people. These songs, as a reflection of what's important to us as human beings, important to us as cultures, spans musical genres, spans decades. All kinds of people are concerned about time. Because we know our time is short. And because of that, we know how we live and walk, how we behave now is incredibly important. But I ask you then, is the redeeming of time on your list of things that is important to you? How much do you care about making the best use of your time? And Paul sets this forth in three verses and reminding us that the unbelieving culture wages war against the church, seeking to influence her, to use her time foolishly. Which is all the more reason we must seriously consider the words of the apostle here, to listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, to walk wisely. And so walking wisely is certainly the thrust of this sermon. We'll see it under three headings. First, the doctrine of walking wisely. And secondly, the practice of walking wisely. And thirdly, we'll consider loving the wisest walker. So the doctrine of walking wisely, the practice of walking wisely, and loving the wisest walker. The doctrine of walking wisely set forth in both verses 15 and 17. Paul contrasts the two ways that one may walk. We can walk foolishly or we can walk wisely. And the wise walker is one who understands the will of the Lord and is careful to watch himself. Whereas the foolish walker lacks understanding. The foolish walker is stumbling, falling, perhaps even missing the path entirely. And of course, we all want to be wise. I hope we all want to be wise walkers. None of us aspire to be foolish in our lives. And so we ask, if we want to be a wise walker, then what must we be? He says we must be alert. We must look carefully, look circumspectly, and think about what we are doing. Wisdom knows. Wisdom sees the dangers that lie ahead on our path, the temptations to sin that abound for us daily. Wisdom knows the weakness of our flesh. Wisdom knows that Satan and his demons are out to oppose us in our wise walking. And so where does wise walking start then? How do we combat this sin? Well, it starts with fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7. Not fear as though the Lord were threatening and dangerous to us, but a fear that is deeply and affectionately reverent. A fear that leaves the wise one with nothing else to do but humbly bow before his God and seek to understand this God's will. Now, how does God teach us his will? If we are to walk wisely and circumspectly, we must know what his will is. A lot of our Christian culture here in Central Texas, on the positive side, is passionately interested in knowing God's will for their lives. That is great. Of course, on the other hand, it is often sought in unbiblical means, right? Hearing voices or through our feelings, through coincidences or extraordinary events. But we don't have to look to these sorts of experiential events to know the Lord's will. If we want godly guidance as to how we walk, he has told us in his scripture. In fact, if you know your catechism, you know it is the word of God is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. The only rule to guide us as to how we walk. Moses told the Old Testament church in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. It is the will of God that we do all the words of the law. And what are those words of the law? Well, they're summarized for us. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. We find the moral law of God summarized in the Ten Commandments. And so if we see, we must see that walking wisely is about understanding God's will for our lives. And it calls us then to study the will of God, to study the Ten Commandments, to meditate upon them, to delight in them as the Psalm 1 man delights in the law of God. It is then that we can overcome these obstacles in our walk. Certainly too many have forsaken the Lord's will. They've gone astray, they've wandered off, fallen, left the path altogether because they follow man's will. But your way will be pure if you guard it according to God's word. That is the doctrine of walking wisely. Understand the will of the Lord and understand that his will for you is summarized in the Ten Commandments. And in understanding that, you will be a wise walker. So a mark of being a wise walker, understanding God's will. There's a second mark of walking wisely, and it is to make the best use of our time. It is to redeem the time. And this is the practice of walking wisely. So as we begin now to look at verse 16 and the practice, let me ask you, what do you instinctively think of doing when you have nothing to do? Do you waste time or do you redeem time? Things you would never want to waste. Does time make the list? Of course, we like to say time is money, money is time, but time is far more precious than money, and it ought not be lost. Or we also say things like, what shall we do to pass the time? But time is a treasured commodity. Paul is exhorting you, I'm begging you, grab hold of your time. Make the best use of it, redeem it. The foolish walker eulogizes missed time, but the wise one sees the moments coming and he uses them to his advantage and godliness. That's what the Greek word here is actually connoting, that we are to gain something by advantage, to gain something by opportunity in redeeming the time. Okay, what does that really look like practically? Maybe we've been a little vague or a little abstract. Let's consider several of you in your different stations of life. Some of you are quite young. And so to that end, children, I ask your attention. What does it look like to serve God with your time, children? Well, it looks like obeying your parents. Like when mom says, clean your room, you go clean your room. Certainly that makes mom happy. It also makes God happy as you redeem the time. It looks like loving your brothers and sisters. As children, I know I was a child once myself with siblings. And you get angry at your siblings. Maybe you want to bite them. Maybe you want to hit them. But God says, love your neighbor. You don't get much closer of a neighbor than a sibling. So you can use your time instead of being angry and wanting to hit them by forgiving them and by loving your brothers and sisters. And children, I would also ask to you, as you think about redeeming the time and what does that look like as a child, ask your parents to read to you the stories of Samuel, the stories of David, how they were children like you and how the Lord used them and how they made the best use of their time. Well, you grow older, and then we address the teenagers. Perhaps not many in the room, but teenagers. You have been given a privileged position by the Lord, and you have been born into families that have taught you the importance of Christ, of the scriptures, of prayer all of your life. And let that continue to take root in you. That is to say, use your time to embrace this grace. Use this time to read the Word of God, to pray, to partake in His sacraments. Ecclesiastes 12:1 bids you, teenagers, to remember your creators all to your Creator all the days of your youth. That is to say, the Lord calls you to be like a brined turkey. If you've ever brined a piece of meat, right? You put it in a salt water bath, a salt water solution that the turkey may take in all of that salt to be more flavorful. Well, I pray, young people, that you would take in and be brined in the Word of God. Like King David, who hid the Lord's Word in his heart, that it may not be removed. Once you brine a turkey, you can't get that salt out. So may you be brined in the scriptures and redeem your time in the study of them. We turn to the adults. We turn to the adult women. How do you redeem the time? Do you use an inordinate amount of time adorning yourself outwardly to the neglect of dressing in the attire of good works? This is what Paul calls you to in 1 Timothy 2. Is time spent gossiping, slandering, going house to house, telling tales? Or is time spent loving your neighbors, loving your husband, loving your children? Is time spent on social media? when you ought to be pure, self-controlled, working at home, from Titus 2. And men, if our spiritual leadership was observed, would it be said of us, there is a banner over the home of this man, like from Joshua, that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or do we let our children live as they wish? Or do we discipline them in order that they might not follow in the ways of sin? This is to say, do we redeem the time by leading our households in family worship, in praying and reading God's word to those who are under our roofs? Or do we squander those moments? Because here's the thing, as men, when we are lying on our deathbeds, you will not bewail missing that playoff game. You will not bewail times of watching TV. You will lament lost time reading the scriptures to your family and to yourself, time spent in prayer. You will lament lost time catechizing your children. We have been given very precious souls under our care. And as those souls grow older, may they rejoice and consider the godly, prayerful men they have in their lives. Of course, not all of our time redeeming activities are simply meant for our various stations in life. We are all called to redeem the time. We are all called to glorify God at all times, to seek His kingdom, to repent of our sins without delay. We are all called to use our time to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And yet too often we work out our salvation with apathy. But again, beloved, grab hold of the time you've been given and supplement that faith with virtue, with knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. If you're doing these things, from Philippians 2, verse 12, if you're doing these things, you will not stumble in your walk. And when your time runs out, you will find the entrance to that eternal kingdom of the Lord. That's to say, our time must be used to seek grace. We are called to be greedy, greedy for grace. We need to redeem the time by constantly taking it in, to know the importance of living daily and weekly to receive the grace of God. Children, if I can have your attention again, yes, twice in one sermon. But children, did you know that as long as crocodiles are alive, and as long as they continue to eat, they continue to live, they continue to grow. The crocodile never stops growing until he ceases to eat. Well, little children, brothers and sisters, be like the crocodile and never stop growing in grace. Once you do, cease to feed upon the word of God, cease to eat the Lord's Supper. Once you cease to pray, you will stop growing. You will cease to live. Rather, continually feed on the means of grace that you may grow large. So we are called then to make the best use in many of these ways of our time. Why? We read in verse 16b, because the days are evil. They are not evil in and of themselves. They are evil because of the events connected to them, because of the sinful fallen world that we live in. And granted, we have been delivered from this present evil age, and yet we still live in its context. We live at that sort of crossroads of the city of man and the city of God. And because these days are evil, certainly our flesh and Satan want to tempt us to be robbed of our time, to distract us in many ways. Let's consider several time robbers then of these evil days that apply to all of us. Let me ask, do vain thoughts rob you? Sort of going back to when you have nothing to do, what do you instinctively think about? Do we find ourselves daydreaming and thinking about sinful things in our daydreams? We need to be careful to guard our time thinking, to guard our minds. If we're not careful, those sinful daydreams might spring into action. In fact, we even consider this morning, this very Lord's Day morning, we are hearing the word preached, but how often vain thoughts draw us away from holy endeavors. The preacher mentions something that reminds us of something else. Before we know it, our thoughts have drifted into Monday and everything we have to get done tomorrow and next week, rather than hearing the word of God preached. Vain thoughts rob us of time. Worldly care robs us of time. Granted, it's good to pay the mortgage. It's good to buy clothes. It's good to have food. But worldly care robs us of time when we spend all of our time, all of our day, thinking about these things, thinking about the flesh, rather than thinking about the spirit. We must have time set aside to think seriously about our Lord. Too many live their lives without ever giving a daily thought to eternity. What else robs us of time? Unprofitable conversations. Remember Acts 17. Perhaps this applies very well to our grad students. Because in Acts 17, Paul goes to proclaim the gospel at the Areopagus, where the Athenians wasted their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. That is not for the Christian. Instead, we must redeem the time, as Paul says. He says something very similar also in Colossians 4. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you ought to answer each person. That is to say, our conversations must be profitable, and that the believer can redeem the time when talking with people in this manner. And certainly in our day and age, we are robbed of our time in excessively indulging the outward appearance. We mentioned that earlier in regards to women, but it's not just women, it's men as well. And indulging the outward appearance is something that can be done well and to God's glory and moderation. Even the Apostle Paul says physical training is of some value. Nothing wrong with going to the gym or dyeing your hair, putting on makeup. But when we find ourselves spending more time staring in the mirror than praying, than spending time in communing with God, indulging our outward appearance has robbed us of time. Our last time robber that is incredibly pertinent to us today is that immoderate recreations rob us of time. Again, nothing wrong with relaxing, nothing wrong with going on vacation, watching the baseball game, nothing wrong with playing, Minecraft or Fortnite. But the way our culture acts is such that man's chief end is to recreate, right? To quote another song, isn't everybody working for the weekend? Recreations are a gift from God, but they are not to be used in excess. And really the point being made is that if we find ourselves binge-watching Netflix and engorging ourselves on Saturday college football without ever having read the scriptures that day, without having spoken to the Lord in prayer, then immoderate recreations have robbed us of our time. That's a number of very practical ways of walking wisely. Of course, now we've addressed the doctrine of walking wisely, and we've gotten very practical, addressing us as individual groups and addressing us as a whole of how we are robbed of our time and robbed of walking wisely. And I imagine most of you at this point are certainly convicted, and you're divided into two groups. One group is pumped up. And one group is excited and says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord. I can do this. And if that's your attitude, that you're just going to try harder and pull yourself up by your bootstraps to redeem the time, I have bad news. You can't. The other group is hearing the gravity of what God requires of us and is thinking, there is no way I can do that. The good news for you is that through the Spirit of Christ, you can. Because walking wisely and redeeming the times are not things we can set out to do on our own. They cannot stem from our own flesh. Do you want to be a wise walker? Do you want to redeem the time? Then you must love the wisest walker, who is Jesus Christ, and considered how he walked. That is your only hope to walk wisely. So our third heading, loving the wisest walker. We've spoken of Samuel and David when they were children. How about this? How did Jesus walk as a boy? When he was 12, where do we find him? Spending time at the temple, listening and learning from the teachers. And we read that he grew in wisdom and he grew in stature and favor with God and man. And then we fast forward to after his baptism, when he is driven out into the wilderness and he is tempted in his walk. When he is tempted in his walk on earth by Satan himself. And you remember in that temptation, he has been fasting for 40 days. We could certainly understand a man who had fasted 40 days to be tempted with turning stones into bread. But what did Jesus do? He knew God's law. He knew God's will for him. He loved it. He delighted in it. So he quotes it in response to Satan and those temptations. All three times he is tempted, he quotes from Deuteronomy. And of course, over the next 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he is busy doing the work of his Father. He is not idle. We have a saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop. It's not in the Bible. But certainly there is some truth, some biblical truth to the saying, right? Satan loves it when we are idle because he is a very active devil, longing to tempt you, to draw you away from your path, to make you waste time and to stumble in your walk. And when such temptations face you this very week, this very day, can we quote scripture like Jesus? Can we say with Christ in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work? So Christ did. Even with death looming, and he knew it. You recall his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will but yours be done. Even then, our Savior sought to do the will of the Father. Surely Jesus was the wisest walker, the one who sought God's will above his own and redeemed every moment, every second of time unto the Lord to the point of death on the cross. And as you reflect on that, right, a man who served the Lord perfectly every second of his life, an innocent man, why would he willfully die? Why would Jesus spend a lifetime of perfectly walking wisely just to be crucified? The answer is because he loves you. If your Bible's still open to Ephesians 5, scan down to verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The love of Jesus was so great that he would live that perfect life and die in the place of his people. An amazing love, a selfless love. And if you want to walk wisely and make the most of your time, meditate upon that love of Christ that would even lead him to a bloody death in your place. And as we meditate on that love, how can we not long to serve him and redeem the time? How could we not long to imitate him in his perfect walk? We must love Jesus in order to imitate him and to walk wisely. We must recognize we are not worthy of Jesus' love, certainly not because of our time-redeeming activities in the flesh. We are only worthy because he first loved us. And from that springs our own time-redeeming works. Now, perhaps you came here this morning not believing in Jesus Christ as the substitute for your sins. Maybe this sermon has you thinking as we consider time. And I would urge you, friend, repent of your sins today. Trust in the perfect work and the love of Jesus. Don't put it off till tomorrow. You're not promised another breath, let alone another day. We know that we're a tardy people. It's very likely you'll go to bed late tonight. Perhaps you will wake up late tomorrow morning. Maybe tomorrow you'll be late for work, late for an appointment. But do not be late in coming to Christ. Hell is full of people who thought they had more time. But none of us are promised more time. May we use it wisely. And that doesn't go just for any of those who are not trusting in Christ. That goes for each and every one of us in this room. May we use our time wisely. So let us remember the doctrine of walking wisely, which is to understand God's will as summarized in the Ten Commandments. Let us remember the practice of walking wisely, which is especially to love the wisest walker. The wisest walker with whom we'll celebrate at the marriage supper of the Lamb when this old creation runs out of time. When all those who have loved the wisest walker, who have trusted in him for their salvation, will enjoy the new heavens and the new earth for eternity. A time when there will be no evil days, and we will redeem the time perfectly, for we will walk wisely. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, our hearts are stirred for our misuse of time. Time, this precious gift that you have given to each and every one of us. And we reflect even just on yesterday. I'm sure we can all find ways we have not redeemed the time. But Lord, there is grace and mercy with you, and it is plenteous. And that blood of Christ covers our sins of wasted time, our times when we have walked foolishly. And Lord, as we are convicted, pick us up. As we have fallen along the path, bring us back if we have strayed. Set us on that narrow path once again to walk, not according to our flesh, but according to your will. And may we be a people of prayer relying on you and your Spirit, who has been given as a down payment of this eternity to come. May he guide us and direct our paths this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.